and the power of his resurrection. That's what I want to know. And that's what I'm teaching to Christians. Let that be the core thing of your heart. Forget the God of methods, the God of how to succeed, God of breakthrough. Mm-mm. You just have to know him. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. Jesus came to reveal him as Father. The Bible says that the only begotten Son, he has revealed him to us. And that's all we are going for. Let's know that God. Like I was saying earlier, you stay in his presence, you become like him without even knowing anything is changing. It's people around you that will tell you, oh boy, you didn't used to be like this. Look at all this country matter that's going on, all this issue of president, is he sick, is he not sick, and all of that. I have noticed that people have tried to get me to say things, they just can't come out of my mouth. I said, that is not a godly way to talk. I'm sorry. Listen to me. Believers, I'm saying to you, the time has come for us to remove every other thing from our hearts as the reason for which we are doing things. It's time to just seek God because he's God. And I'm saying to you today, he wants that. He wants that. He wants you to take your money, your time, go somewhere. Say, where are you going? I've seen where Jesus is being described. I want to go and sit down and listen to the description of Jesus for 1 week. What are you going to bring from there? I don't know. Beyond the fact that I will know him more than before, nothing. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord wants people who reason like that, who think like him. It's when we have become, that is when we have that kind of, I was saying to you earlier, attitude. When that is our goal, that is our focus. You understand? That's what now decides. I was trying to explain that earlier. Whether we're in the will of God, we are or we are not. All these principles for knowing God's will, believe me, they really don't tell you the will of God. People will say, pray until your spirit is silent. Then a voice will speak to you. It doesn't tell you the will of God. It doesn't. An angel appearing to you does not tell you the will of God. Balaam heard a voice. Doesn't mean it's the will of God. What decides whether you will hear what is really the will of God or not is what you are focused upon. Let me say that to you again. What decides whether you will hear the will of God or you will not is what your eyes are locked on. I was talking about Balaam. Balaam's eyes were locked on gain, the reward of divination. Even though he had the best methods existing on the earth for contacting the realm of the spirit, because you understand that men that time, even till now, they know how to see things in the realm of the spirit. There are different ways. I don't want to go into explain some of those things. They knew this kind of sacrifices to utter. You see Balaam. Balaam said, let's go to this corner. Now, give me seven bulls. Give me seven goats, seven bullocks. Slaughter them here. Then he will wait. Look, those were techniques men learned. You see a man like Elisha will say, bring me a minstrel. Are you getting my point? Let him begin to play. They knew how to move evil spirits away by playing certain kinds of music. So that when an evil spirit will come upon Saul, David knew the keys to strike and the thing will go away. Men knew some of these things. Yet, because the eyes were locked in the wrong place, with the depth of knowledge that Balaam had concerning those things. I told you that day, Balaam, when the donkey was talking to him, he did not run like we used to joke that this man should have run. He should have known there was a problem. He didn't run because he had heard snakes before. Crickets had brought him news. No, read your Bible. The Bible will tell that the birds of the air will hear it and go and report. Those things are literal. Birds had heard news and given to Balaam. That's why he didn't run. Yet that man, with all the knowledge of spiritual things, how to get the voice of God out. And God said, good, this man knows how to talk, to listen. So he talks to him. Yet he could not discern the will of God. Why? His eyes were locked on something else. So that when he got there, they said, how do we curse these people? He said, their God hasn't cursed them. He tried everything. He said, look, Balak, I told you before it won't work. Let's forget it. But because his eyes were locked on something, he called Balak to the side. He said, Balak, this is how to do it. He gave the man the trick, how to manipulate the spiritual atmosphere so that God would be angry with the people of Israel. And he succeeded. That tells you he was not subject to the will of God. yet he was hearing voices. Forget voices. Oh. People have told me all kinds of things. Now, when I see the way the country is going now, I knew that it was God that told me to leave. I said, oh, foolish Galatian. You were looking for comfort. You found it. You're not saying God told you to leave. Comfort told you to leave. Yes, it did. But if a man says, if a woman says, listen, what am I looking for? In this life, I want to know God no matter what it will take. That is when the Holy Spirit can tell you, okay, park, go to this place. He gets there. Stay here until I tell you to move again. What is in this place? Don't worry. I leave, takes a man like Abraham, takes him away from where society was developed and say, go and pitch a tent. We are going somewhere great. And for many decades, he was walking with God from one place to another. Those are the people that know when God is talking to them. If your eyes are locked on something that is wrong, no matter how much you refine your ability to discern spiritual things, you can never know the true thing that God wants to say to you. That's what I'm preaching today. I'm saying, Christians, be like what? Enoch. Like who? Enoch. Being Enoch, listen, like that's why I emphasize something there. The Bible says to us clearly, Enoch had sons and daughters. For me, that means that Enoch was a normal person. Enoch was not an ascetic. He was not practicing asceticism. Somebody like Sadhu Sundar Singh was practicing asceticism. Yeah, well, he did, you know, it's not a sin, but what happened is that he wanted to present, that's just a digression, he wanted to present the gospel, all right? He said that Indians were resistant to the gospel because you had to take the gospel with the culture of the white man, with the European. Are you getting my point? So Europeans came with the gospel, you took gospel and Europe. You get my point? You took gospel and Britain with it. So the man said, but Jesus is not British. Jesus is just Jesus. So what do? We have to present Jesus in a local language. For that reason, he became a sadhu. Because their holy men were sadhus. Wearing a pink robe and going around, you know, going around. He said, just to show them that, look, Christianity is not a Western religion. Christ is king everywhere. But my emphasis is that you don't have to be like him to have a close walk with God. Because Enoch was not like that. Enoch married. He has sons and daughters. Enoch was a student. Are you getting my point? I'm qualifying it now. Enoch was a worker. Enoch was a governor. Enoch was a businessman. Enoch could have been anybody. Enoch was a woman with her children and her husband. Yet had a close walk with God so that a day came, God said, look, let me have this guy. You guys have other people on this earth here with you. And listen to me, God doesn't find many people like that. He doesn't find many people. And what I'm doing today is letting Christians know that that is the primary thing he wants from you. He said, this blessing, I can bless. Oh God, I hope you understand what I'm saying. This one that you pray all night for blessing, God said, I don't like it. Let me say that to you. The Lord is saying, I don't like it. You make it look like blessing is a difficult thing. You make it look like blessing is something that, you know, we need to strive and strive. And until we persuade God, we can't get it. You make it look like if I don't see your money, I can't multiply it. You make it look like I am not the owner of all things. You make it look like as if I don't like you. I'm not kind to you. Until I see you cry and suffer, I won't give you anything. So that's the impression you are creating. If the angels did not know me independent of you, they would have a wrong impression of the kind of God that I am. Why? If you need 200 naira, that's 200 minutes of prayer. You create a wrong impression of the kind of father that I am, and I don't like it. I don't like it. If you must stay up all night, take a sheet of paper, take a notebook, stay up all night and talk to me. I hope you are getting my point here. Talk to me. Say, Lord, I don't understand you enough. We prayed for this country. Things are not working the way we said they should work. What is happening? Then he leads you to pick a book and read, and you get some understanding. He leads you to pick a message and listen to, you get some understanding. Or right there and there, a voice comes into your heart, and it gives you a sentence, and you hold on to that sentence. As you are reading the scriptures, through it, you are discovering what God is exactly like. That's the whole night meditation. You spend half of the time worshiping and thanking him. And in the morning, you give thanks. When everybody else is waking up, you go and take 2 hours of sleep before you go about for the day. Why were you up all night? Oh, I was just, listen, that's what it means. I was just fellowshipping with the Lord. I was learning his ways, his mind, the way he thinks. I was sitting in his presence. You do like that for years, you will talk. People will know that Ahithophel is speaking. I don't know where you're getting my point here. The wisdom with which you will speak will be different. But when you spend all night trying to say, God, today you will finish my enemies. At the end of everything, you are just as bad as those enemies. There's nothing different. Like I tell my people, and you've heard me say it. I say, like in Nigeria of today, it's easy to know you have not been working with God. It's very easy. Just hear your comments. Once it's identical to the one you heard the bus conductor say, identical to the one you heard the man selling booze say, identical to the one you heard on radio, all those discussion people, back of Guardian, back of This Day, back of Punch, you know those back people, back all those back page people? Are you getting my point? They are as ignorant as you, just that they are the editors, they must write something. Are you getting my point? You read all of these things, and you're just echoing their opinion. One of my friends, a Christian, wrote something today, you know, I read it on chat. I'm going to tell him afterwards. And I'm going to tell him, I said, my brother, everything you have said, your analysis, your breakdown of everything is what I hear on the street every day. How are you different? How are you different? What you have said to me now is what I hear on the street every day. How are you different? They talk on Biafra matter, you talk exactly like Nnamdi Kanu. How are you different? They talk on a president is sick matter, you talk exactly like a PDP member. How are you different? PDP is even good. You know that thing I said on Tuesday? That Christians should have taken a day and called for prayer for the president. PDP did it the next day. Hey! Did he pay me? What Christians were supposed to do, PDP did. Hey! You want to know whether you have not been working with God? That's what I'm making. Just hear your own opinion on everything that's going on around. Then you know you have not been working with the Lord. You have been working with the newspapers. You have been working with the radio commentators. You have been working with television stations. You have not been working with the Lord. I remember those who were in Lagos. Our pastor used to preach one way. Then one day he came to church and said, I realized that I was becoming a Nadeko prophet. How many people remember Nadeko? Nadeko, they were the ones that fought for democracy under Abacha. Bola Tinubu was a Nadeko chieftain. Many of them were killed. Rewani, he was the one funding Nadeko. He was a very, very rich Nigerian. You understand? No, they were hunting them up and down. There was one man that they tried to kill some. You know, there are people that God said you will not kill. Point blank, shot, missed. One man they went to kill in the mid, somewhere in the, around Makurdi. The people were disagreeing on who would shoot him when the man left. No, Bola Tinubu will tell you that he dressed like a woman to escape from Nigeria. And he was in a neighboring African country. When they came to catch him there, he just went out to go and buy something or make a call. On his way back, he noticed that the receptionist was looking like at him straight as he was approaching. I'm talking to some men. He got the point. He disappeared. That's how he became Bola Tinubu that you know. Nadeko chieftain. So when democracy restarted, they came back. So that day I was in church. My pastor said, listen, I wasn't there, but they told me because I traveled. My pastor came to church and said, I realized I was becoming a Nadeko prophet. So what's the solution? He said, I'm not reading newspapers for now. So he took himself off newspapers. Why? He said, interacting with these pages have turned me to a Nadeko prophet. When I open my mouth to speak, I am speaking like another angry man in Lagos. Listen, let's talk about our country for a moment. The country will not change because you are angry. The country will not change because you are complaining. That's what my classmates were accusing me of. That I might say they can't say anything negative about the government. I want to tell them that when you have finished saying it, what will you achieve? You say it to yourself, you say it to me. You vent. Are you getting my point? All you are doing is venting, releasing negative vibes, crippling the hands of the president. He can't do anything. Anybody wants to do anything, we use negative emissions from our soul to cripple his hands. When he does a little bit of good, we look for an ulterior motive. If he doesn't do it, we criticize him. At the end of the day, you have to respect anybody that agrees to lead. The forces they are fighting, I don't mean occultic forces, I mean the evil spirits inside bus conductor, professors, doctors, teachers, housewives, newspaper, you know, sportsmen, Biafrans, thank you. The negative vibes coming out of our souls is such that people cannot do anything even if they wanted to. I told Christians something before, they think I'm joking. As at now, the way Nigerians behave, if Jesus were to rule, he could do nothing. He said, can't Jesus give us uninterrupted power supply? I said, impossible. Jesus couldn't do it. If Jesus comes down, wears his suit, campaigns, we vote for him, then he splits himself into two. And one, the other half becomes the power minister. You understand? We cannot have uninterrupted power supply. It is not possible. It is not within its capacities. I want you to finish wondering what I smoked. Making that statement, yes. Don't ever forget it. Why could he not do it? The Bible says when he got to his own hometown, his country, he could not do any mighty work. What was the reason? Because of their unbelief. Now, please get my point here. The statements I've made, I'm not joking about it, though. Am I saying Jesus doesn't have power? That's the problem. People don't know him enough to know how he operates. That's the problem. They don't. You read the Bible says he came to his hometown. He wanted to do good, mighty works there. He could not do it. Why? He said he marveled at their unbelief. The unbelief in Nigeria right now is such that no matter how good the head of state is, he can't do anything. If Jesus couldn't do it, who is he? No, please, I want you to learn. I'm telling you spiritual principles. You sit down and be pointing fingers. You are unbelievers, Nigerians. Jesus doesn't work miracles when everybody is staring at him with unbelief. That's why I tell Christians, contribute faith. That's why I tell believers, contribute faith. Your leaders cannot do anything if they don't have faith radiating in the environment. Your leaders can't do anything. One day was in Gigate, and who came here? To Enugu. I felt sorry for them. Nobody believed anything Gigate had to say. Nobody. Nothing. People came to the town hall meeting with venom. Listen to me. If it was Jesus, he will carry all his miracles and go to the next city and do it there. That is, Ngige will live here, walk across to Delta, Edo State, and bless them. And people will say, he did not do it in his own hometown. He said, when I went there, all I met was what? Unbelief. They will continue the criticism. But was that not what happened to Jesus? They said, the thing we heard you did in Abuja, the thing you heard you did in this particular place, come and do it here. And he was looking at them. They say you heal the sick. This woman is sick. This man is sick. He was looking at them. He said, see me, TV, we've been hearing news of you. You went to Capernaum. You went to where now? Bethsaida, Chorazin, all those places. You went there. We saw you. We heard the news. They said there's one woman. Her only son died. They were carrying him past. You touch the casket. The boy got up. Is it true? Jesus, is it true? The chair you did for me, when you were a carpenter, is still in my house. I'm not using it. You are telling me you raised the dead. Okay, there's no problem. Down the road, one woman died this morning. Jesus, come, let's go. If you can raise that woman, I will believe in you. And that's the chair that is not good, that I say I don't like, I will start using it today. Ever since you were in carpentry, I kept that chair waiting for when you will come back. Now, for your information, the chair was good. It was the man that was bad. And when, no matter, no, Jesus cannot do chair for you to be bad. You understand my point? No matter what you do for a bad man, his eyes are bad, he will see bad in it. Just to tell you how Nigerians behave, a friend of mine is a gastroenterologist. We're talking about Nigerians' attitude to Nigeria. He says something. That a man had what we doctors call polyps, all right, inside the intestine. He said, Banky, I spent 4 hours. He said, normally when I check people's intestines, it takes me like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. He said, this man's when I spent 4 hours removing all the polyps inside. He said, he insisted on going to India still. He said, when he got to India, they told him there's nothing more to do for you. Now listen to me. The man paid his way to go to India, paid the hospital there. They checked him, said there's nothing more to do. He said, do you notice today the man has not paid me? He could pay the flight ticket. When we're talking about unbelief, please, let me tell you, from today, feel sorry for the head of state. When you see him, you know why he's sick. I'm not joking. I've told you before, I pray for him regularly. When I remember him, but God, please, let health be upon him. I don't want him to even die now, because the punishment for Christians will be excessive. Because God will hold them. And listen to me, what do you know? Pastor Corey said that they don't know that if this man dies, they will reap what they are sowing. That's a man pastoring in Sokoto. He said if the head of state dies, hear me, Christians will reap what they sowed. Just like I said, he said, why could don't can call a prayer meeting? He said, just one day for the head of state. It's PDP that's doing it. You see, shame. All of us should just say shame, shame, shame on us. You know, it's true. Go and read Daniel. No, the confession, we need to pray. Even those of us that think we have light, go and pray and confess sin as if you are the one sinning on the behalf of the body of Christ. I know what I'm telling you. When else you see the head of state, feel sorry for him. Because the unbelief in the environment is bad. Jesus healed somebody and said, don't go into that city. He appeared to Kenneth Hagin. And to Kenneth Hagin, do you know why I said so? He said, if he had gone in there, the unbelief there would have returned him to his blindness. He said, for me to pray for the man, I took him by the hand and we walked out of the city. Kenneth Hagin said, the Lord told him that, listen, environmental unction is very important. I was talking to my classmates today. I made a point just like this. I said, guys, you released. They said, what's my problem? Am I a Buhari Din? That's what they call people like me. I said, call me whatever you like, but I refuse to join your negativism. One of them now made a joke and said, okay, you are telling us that negativism is why the other governments before now have not succeeded. Not that they are clueless or stupid or ignorant or inefficient. I told the lady, it was the lady that said that. I said, have you noticed? If since 1960, all your leaders are bad, you should tell there's something in the environment that's making them bad. If over 50 years you have not been able to produce credible leaders, that tells you it's not the person, it's the environment. And I tell Christians all the time, you have a duty, you have a responsibility. Contribute some faith. Contribute some faith. Do you know a lot of people? Poverty. Let me tell you how you sow a seed for your own poverty. When you are angry for the people you think are rich, against the people who are rich, who are making investments, you are begging to be poor permanently. They told me the other day that Dangote wants to open a tire factory. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, he will succeed. Amen. The fallout from that is refinery. All right? You can't. If you're talking about job provision, that guy is contributing nothing less than 200,000 jobs. Directly and indirectly. The value chain down the line. Including people who will be selling the charge card on the road. Let's not talk about the value of the land that's already there. And he's doing it in Lagos, not doing it in Kano. I now heard that he wants to build a tire factory. I said, Father, I said it in my mind. I said, God, he will do it. This man, he will not die. Some people, you know what? One day I said he was building a refinery. I was talking to some people that if he finishes, one third of our forex need will vanish. You know what somebody said? Eh? You mean we are still going to be in bondage to this man? That was a man's response. You don't know what they call unbelief. It's a spiritual principle. I'm talking about how unbelief cripples things. That's what I'm talking about. Unbelief. Why Christians need to contribute faith. What if you are wrong? At least you tried. Do you know that if doctors treat your patients and the person dies, you still pay the bills? Why? They tried. If Udejuku repairs your car, it's not working. That's why you're going to look at him. He's afraid to give you a bill. He's a motor mechanic. But doctor treats your patient. When you come, where's mama? Sorry, but she died this morning. Sorry, meanwhile, the bill is 1.5 million for all the things I would eat. Yes. You can't carry your grandmother if you don't pay the bill. Meanwhile, she's dead. And when you took her in, she was not too sick. She just complained that one leg was paining her small. And all of his eyes to do x-ray, they said the hip is one case. Okay, let's try whether I can do hip replacement. And then she died. They will give you the bill before you collect the dead body. Why? They said, we care. God cures. We are charging you for care. The cure is between you and God. Is that not what they say? We care. God cures. So our bill is for the caring. As for the curing, ask God why he let your grandmother die. This one, that's not our problem. Now, what am I going to say? As Christians, at least contribute what? Faith. Let it be that you contributed faith. Let it be that you contributed faith. Let it be. No, I was talking to somebody last time I went to Port Harcourt. The woman sent me a mail before, one of our co-workers there. And she told me that the investment she needed to make was a lot of money. And that Port Harcourt was too scattered. Actually, it was IDG, so that one of them came to Enugu for a holiday. And you know, Enugu is a beautiful city. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Apostle was praying this morning. He said, let's thank God. It's not the police, it is God. But it's God, it's not human beings. Anyway, they came to Enugu. So by the time they got back to Port Harcourt, it was like, ah, guys, have you gone to Enugu? Hey, have you gone to Enugu? See people walking on the road. We even saw white people walking on the road. So a lady asked me and said that she's been thinking because of the business they do, they're about to make some massive investment. That is it worth it? Now, I'm going somewhere. You see where I'm going? So when I got talking, I said, listen. I said, God wants to redeem everywhere. That when we came to Enugu, it wasn't like this. Enugu was it was a troublesome place. When I wanted to buy my car then, when I wanted to buy what they call a V-boot, Mercedes-Benz, used one, of course. They said that armed robbers like it. I said, I like it too. That makes two of us. I remember that was my statement. I said, me too, I like it. So what they meant was that armed robber, we want to steal it from. I said, me too, I like it. I said, because they were not sent to this city, I was sent. God will displace them so I can drive my car. So this is the point I'm making, right? So I told the person, listen, Enugu was not always this cool. That we stayed here and we continued to pray. And God has been kind to us. I said, God wants to redeem everywhere. You cannot run away from Port Harcourt because of the trouble. I said, the trouble will pass. And that's, this is the statement I'm making. I said, that your investment is your digging. Now, what do I mean? Normally, when soldiers get to a place, they dig trenches. So they are said to have, they dig themselves in. A place to hang, you know, your weapons, a place to hide, a place to, you know, you dig in. Are you getting my point? I said, for you to pray effectively in a place, you have to have something that's tying you there. That's why when you see Nigerians, like one of my brothers say, find a place to go, be praying for your home country. You know, those prayers are not effective. You run to London, you hide there, tell me you are praying for Nigeria. You can't, you are not wicked, you just can't pray. I don't know whether you get my point. You are not wicked, you just can't pray. Your son is not in a vehicle going from here to Lagos. You can't pray. If I put my children in a vehicle, they are going from here to Lagos. And I hear this Christ of nature. You know the kind of prayer I'll pray? By the time I finish praying, angels will say, so that there will be peace, they will carry them by hand, fly them over on the chair. I'm telling you. Because if I hit the floor, no riot again, no riot. Easy now, pastor. Take it easy. But if I hear that the man is shooting on the streets of Paris, I say, oh, Boko Haram in Paris. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help them. Help them, Father God. Father. Let peace, you are the God of the whole earth, including in Paris, hallelujah. Baby, no, don't fry the plantain too much, I'm coming, I'm praying. In the name of Jesus. That's what you go do. That is how you will, no, that's how you will pray now. That's how you will pray. So I said, look, listen, everybody needs to, I tell the parents, listen, that's the digging. I said, invest your money in the land. Don't worry. Somebody says, what if you lose it? It's just money. Hey, I wish you would just understand. It's just money. But at least you contributed faith. That's what I'm talking about. You lost money, but at least you contributed faith. People have shouted, country, dividing. Listen, build a house. Where am I building it? In Enugu. I don't care that you say that, yeah, you're from Ondo State. I don't care. I don't care. And what if there's trouble and then you have to... Is it not just a building? Is it not just money? But like I tell people, there are things you do so you can pray. I tell those people that bypass Nepal, you know, Nepal bills, you know, shut your mouth when they are praying for power in this country. Your power, your prayer is ineffective. You bypass, what they call it, your air conditioner. You bypass it. So you'll be paying Nepal for light and fan. Then your heater and AC, of course, you don't forget you're a thief. Let's use the proper word. In the industry, they call you energy thief. The term in industry is energy theft. So you're a thief. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Apart from the fact that you're a criminal, let's leave that out. The point now is that you can't pray again. When we ask Lord, Father, we need constant power in the country. You can't pray. You have removed the ability to utter words. You don't have it anymore. So there are things we endure. Not because we are so righteous, but we love our prayer time. Are you getting my point? We want to be able to pray and say, Lord, help our country. When we say it, let it be that we don't have any other thing. Are you getting my point? That where a man's treasure is, there's heart will be also. Spiritually, we're speaking now. When you are dogging into a particular place, look, you will pray and say, God, I have labored with your time, with your money, and I have planted it here. This is where I'm occupied. When you pray, if wicked misbehaves, are you getting my point? God will kick him off the throne. That is, a governor misjives, God will knock him off. That's what I'm telling Christians. Contribute faith. Contribute faith. Get up and contribute faith into the environment. Don't talk like people. If your talk is the same as the average commentator, the bus driver, the man in your office, the drunk man down in that place, you have not fellowship with the Lord. You are not speaking for heaven. Those that are with the Lord are unique. They are different. They talk differently. Their faces radiate in a different manner. Let me tell you something. If we don't have enough people doing it for a country, the country will never go anywhere. If we don't have enough people doing it for a region, they will never go anywhere. They will continue to grumble and whine and complain. And when everything disintegrates, they will say, we said so. And God will say, yes, you said so. And the devil will say, yes, you said so. In fact, I needed you to say so. Because without your saying so, I would not have been able to wreck your life like this. Thank you for working with me in your own destruction. And they'll become old. I'll be telling a story. We said it that time in 2016. They did not listen to us. That Nigeria needs restructuring. And then right now, God said, look at the fool. He's an old fool now. He's still saying the same thing. He has learned nothing. That's why I had a long battle with my colleagues since yesterday. They called me names. I told one of them, I said, you know. I said, you can't testify. I did not vote for this president. I said, but at least as a Christian, they have duties. One of them said, somebody has to earn your support and your respect. I said, that's where you miss the point. I said, by virtue of offices and the duties of a citizen, you start with support and respect. Let the person lose it. They don't have to earn it. I have only 4 years in office. How long will it take me to earn your respect and your support? By that time, my term is office over. Like I say to Christians, just contribute some faith. Just wake up in the morning and say, today, I want to contribute faith. A policeman may have annoyed you in previous times. Today, just stop by. You see a patrol vehicle, they are parked. Officers, how are you people doing? Good morning. One day, who was it that told me this now? Say, he had a real showdown with a policeman. And the man looked at him and said, tell the truth. If I was not wearing this uniform, will you talk to me like this? I'm older than you. Let's be honest. Wearing up for this uniform, will you talk to me like this? Are you getting my point? One day too, they annoyed me there. I packed, I walked back. I said, guys, I was the one that was quarreling with you just now. I just came to apologize. I explained myself again that you guys made a mistake. This also happened. I want to tell you I'm very sorry. The younger one looked at me and said, you must be a Christian. So somebody said something once that it's very easy to every time quarrel with the bus conductor in Lagos. Say, but do you realize nobody says anything good to him in a whole day? Think about it. And you want him to behave well. A whole day, it is fight. Quarrel. And you think he will behave well. You see, he deserves what he's getting. I agreed, but let him not get it from you. Let it be that somebody different spoke to him today. Let it be that somebody different spoke to him. And you enter the bus and say, hey, how are you doing? Oh boy, you're a hustle. Oh, how is everything? You pay. It's supposed to be 200 naira. You give him 500 naira. Just leave your change for him, for goodness sake. One of my classmates analyzed something the other day. I never saw it like that. He showed how much work a water seller in traffic has to do to make 50 naira. And he said, but you give that to a beggar at a time. He said, next time, give it to the person who's hustling. Wow. That he did a calculation that it's a human head shouldn't repeat it. That if they set this amount, all right, for the amount of markup per bag, it takes like 4 hours to earn 100 naira or less. You know these beggars do that in 5 minutes. So the person said, look, next time, leave the change for the fellow who's hustling. And like I always say, what you reward is what you encourage. You give the beggar so much money, you encourage every young man to beg. I like what my wife used to do those days. All these boys that carry wheelbarrow in the market, you know, when she used to go to market. What she pays has nothing to do with what they charge. Just look at the boy. You've been a good boy today. Deep hand in the pocket, give the boy money. The boy will look and look at her. And anytime you are coming, just look for me. And what is the reason? That this boy could be in traffic cleaning glass. He could have joined a gang causing trouble. But he chose to go and hire a wheelbarrow. You know they hire those barrows?
Yes.
He chose to go and hire a barrow and hustle from morning till evening. Let's reward that. Let's be good. Listen, that's what I'm teaching. Christians who have related with the Lord, they relate to, they behave differently. They behave differently. But the problem is that everybody, listen, let me tell you this. Everybody thinks the country is to be milked. And they point fingers at the politicians. And you know one reason why God has not done the judgment people have been asking for? Even people like me prayed for before. Because a bank, you forget that thing. If I try, I will kill your gate man. I will kill, look, forget these things. I will go to your office and eradicate everybody. So you, they shout. You say, listen. Most people, the people who work the list, I'm sorry if you're a civil servant, I don't have you in mind, I don't know you. Me and you work in the same office, so don't worry about it, all right? Talking about ourselves. They are the ones that work the list and cut their salary by 10 couple, they're on strike. How many private people can go on strike? As they strike, so not come back. They just from there, go. But listen, the federal government worker earns more than most of them, works less than half what they work for, the amount of work they do, yet cut his salary by 5,000 naira. Then he tells you the politicians are stealing. And God is laughing. That proportionally, you've stolen more. But God is just laughing. Say, you are talking. You have stolen more than the other people. With the money they are paying, tell him, okay, I'm here to do passport. How much? That is, they must put something on top of it. Meanwhile, she's earning more than the private sector person. Working less, yet is the one collecting all the bribes. Listen, I'm preaching the fact that it is only me and you, people who know the truth of God, that can change things. That's what I'm preaching. Most people, the way they want to use the country is how they want to use God too. Yes. That is why they give him 5,000 naira. And if he doesn't give half a million naira, he's not God. Now fight. The same way they are using everything is the same way they want to use God. So that if they do something small for him, they go to church in the morning, God must bless them by evening. And if he doesn't bless them by evening, they are wondering, God, you know, I could have gone to the mosque. I came to your church. I know what my friends are doing in party right now. You know, I'm following you about, you know? I'm keeping myself God, you see. I know what my friends are doing. They are following sugar daddy now, making a lot of money. Which one you know they? I want good husband, plenty children, as reward for this my years of righteousness. And God is looking. So okay, if you do iniquity, oh yeah, go and do it. Then, but if you call me in the time of your distress, if I hear my name, sign here that you will not call me. I say, God, I don't mean it like that. I'm just trying to say that produce now. And that's how people treat God. Oh God, that's what we are doing. And we pastors too, we like to preach it like that. Because when you promise people reward, they will walk. I thank God. That's one thing I refuse to do. I refuse to do it. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you don't want to serve Him, please go home. No. If you want to serve Him, serve Him. If you don't want to serve Him, go home. I'm not going to promise you anything that He didn't promise. Even if He did, I won't tell you ahead so that your service can be pure. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But all of this will not be a problem if we are just pursuing after God. We just want to know Him. We want Him to know us. We want to interact with Him. We want His life to seep into us. Maybe next time I talk more about that faith matter. When we have done that, when we have been with Him, when we speak on matters, believe me, people will know that God spoke. Listen, I said something before. The knowledge of God is not intellectual knowledge. It's spiritual endowment. It was after God revealed Himself as a merciful God that Moses could stay His hand in judgment when He wanted to kill the Israelites. When God said, I'm God the merciful, next time He wanted to talk, He said, you are the merciful God. God, that is, He paused. Oh, please go and listen to our series again, Seven Names of God. Calling God all kinds of Hebrew names won't get you anything. Listen, there's a name you call... Give me a minute. Let me just explain. You're laughing, but I know what I'm saying. Read the scriptures. Eh? The names you call the names of God now. Those men that called Him by that name, nobody told them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Abraham got there. The Lord gave him a ram to replace this thing. And He called the name Jehovah Jireh. I don't know whether you're getting my point. These were names they discovered from personally working with Him. They didn't read it somewhere. These were names that men, names that women discovered from working with the Lord. But once they got that name, are you getting my point? Every time they uttered it after, the God that showed up with power. If after that time, Abraham says, what do we need? 1 million goats. And he says, Jehovah Jireh. 1 million goats will start rushing in from the desert. I hope you're getting my point here. For that reason, the primary drive of my life, all right, shouldn't be goats. Deliverance. No, he said, God, let me know you. Let me see your face. Let me know you. Paul said, I wanted to know Him and the power of His resurrection. That is, if I know God, I will discover how to rise up again from the dead. That's what he was saying. Look, I'm watching my time. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just say, Father, thank you for truth. And then say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. He said, Enoch walks with God. He had a close fellowship with God. One day, he suddenly disappeared. Nobody saw Enoch anymore. One day, Enoch just vanished because God liked him so much. He said, Enoch, from now on, you will stay with me. Say, Lord, I need that relationship. I need it. Say to him, Lord, I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need that relationship. I need that relationship. I need that relationship. I need that relationship. I need it. That's what I want. That is my goal. Whew. I need that relationship. Say, Lord, that's what I need. Look, those things I've been praying for, Lord, let's suspend them for now. Let's suspend them for now. Now, what am I asking for? I want to see your face. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want us to take steps together. I want us to walk in tandem in the garden. I want us to have a relationship. I want to become exactly like you. I want to become exactly like you. I want to be exactly like you. Say, Lord, that is what I need now. That's what I need now. And that is what I'm asking for. Let's pray like Paul. Say, Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will, enough spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that I will walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God. What we are doing as Christians is that even in the work we are walking, in the work we are working for him, it is to increase the knowledge of God. I told you last year, I saw the way of my Father. I saw some things about God. I learned to pray. Anything I want now is prayer, or it's not prayer. There's no scheming. It's just prayer. There's no scheming. Say, Lord, that's what I need. That is what I need. In the name of Jesus Christ.